helped you moderate? Because I know pretty much everyone listening will relate to that idea of wanting to moderate, because it's quite universal. How did you moderate?
Well, to start off with, so I will say that often Stephanie starts by getting people to take a break from booze, like a month or something like that. And that way you learn the benefits. You get all those lovely things like you sleep better and your skin looks better and you save money and you lose weight and all those great things. I'd actually done that quite recently because Helen and I, we don't have to talk about it. We did run the marathon. So I'd given up booze for a month. So I knew those benefits and I knew I could do it. So I sort of skipped that bit, but my husband did that and found it really helpful. So what worked for me was keeping a sort of record of what I was drinking. Now, I found it quite difficult to do the whole like writing down 250 millilitres of Merlot 4:15 p.m. I found that a bit tiring, but I sort of just monitored what days I was binge drinking, what days I was having sober and what days I was having. I set myself a rule of a maximum of three drinks. And then with Stephanie, I just learned to be a bit more, you know, the word mindful is used a lot, isn't it? But thinky, let's say that, to sort of think, you know, oh, I've had two glasses of wine. Do I actually need another one? Do I actually want another one? What's the cost benefit ratio? Will I feel a bit shitter tomorrow if I have another one? Will I actually feel that much better if I have another one? And sometimes the answer is yes. I'm at a lovely wedding and there's champagne flowing and it's all delightful. I'm going to have another drink or possibly three other drinks. But I just think a bit more now about when I'm doing that rather than sort of mindlessly just pouring another, emptying another bottle of Sauvignon into my gullet. So yeah, it's been a, oh, I don't like to use the word, it's been a journey. It's a journey, Zoe. Sorry.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, journey. It's been, well, it's just awareness, isn't it? You're just bringing that awareness to it. Because it's so easy, I think, to get into that habit and that pattern. And then, as you say, you're suddenly like, oh my God, I think that's what so many women experience.
Yes. And I found it quite easy when I had a thing to do, like the marathon or like a big, or like when I did a TV show a few years ago, if I had a big show, I found it very easy not to drink. So I knew I could do it, but I just needed to make that the general habit rather than constantly, all right, here's this big task we've got to achieve, therefore. So yeah.
And how do you feel about it now? Do you feel like you've got it? You feel really comfortable with your relationship with booze?
Well, yes, to be honest, but that sounds very smug. And that's because I am smug.
I'm smug too. I'm smug about being sober. It's all good.
I'm aware that it's something you can't just sort of go, oh, well, I've done that now. Therefore, I can, you know, have six glasses of wine every night again. And it is an ongoing thing, but I've changed my habits. To be honest, I sort of enjoy booze a bit more now because it feels like a bit more of a treat. I love having a pint of lager after the show with my curry. I bloody love it, but I've realised I don't need three. One or two is actually fine. And that's good, I think.
I need help. I need to know, how did you fit in the training around everything else? Because I keep deprioritising the training. I can't stick to the plan.
It is a pain in the ass and it takes a lot of time.
I know. I don't know why I didn't think about this before.
There's so many better things to be doing. You could be completing Netflix. You could be eating biscuits. You could be having a bath. I mean, you could do a lot of things other than run. And I think that's the hardest thing. And I find it, especially when you're meant to do the long runs, like on a Sunday, you know, I want to hang out with my kids. I want to have a roast. I want to have three glasses of Merlot and pass out on the couch watching First Wives Club. Yeah, it takes over your life. The last 8 weeks of marathon training are the most boring. But I really enjoy, Elliot always used to say, the smuggery or feeling good afterwards. You never not feel good after having a run. And you don't have to do it on a Sunday and you don't have to, you know, you can fit in, if you can, the runs around other bits of your thing. But it is quite tedious. Like I'm in the bit leading up, I'm doing the Copenhagen Marathon in May and I was meant to do a 32K run yesterday, but after 18K, my leg just went, no, sorry, my leg's hurting now. So for the next 2 weeks, I've just got to rest before we go to Nepal. So it is hard, but you don't have to run at all. And everyone gets the same medal. Believe it or not, you will get the same marathon medal as Mo. And if you walk a bit, take a bit, it's just a great day out. And don't put pressure on yourself. You don't have to do it fast. You don't have to do it in a particular way. Just run your own race. That'd be my advice. Walk it backwards. Walk it wearing a duck suit. I don't care.
No one cares what time you did. I cared about my time. I didn't get the time I wanted to get because I got sick on the thing, but I finished it. And like hardly anyone asks you what your time is. I don't even remember mine. You're just like, you did a marathon and that's cool. I like the phrase, don't let perfect be the enemy of the good. You know, just like Helen says, just walk it. You've still done it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's true. I'm definitely putting too much pressure on myself. And I'm quite competitive with my husband, and he did it in 4:15.
Oh, wow.
Oh, why did it 4:14? In his face.
Ha, ha, ha.
I'm faster than your husband.
You know that you said...
Sorry, that's just made me feel really jolly. It's really fucking sad.
That is a bloody impressive time, though. That is really impressive. How did you get into it? You started with a running coach, is that right?
Ellie did running before me, and I started as more of a midlife crisis thing about 6 years ago. When I did my first 5K, I did it in 55 minutes. And then I did my first Race for Life, I think about 5 years ago, and that was 38 minutes. And I thought that was pretty swift. And then it's just got quicker and quicker over time. But we did get a running coach because we got asked by Bryony Gordon to run the marathon in our pants about 4 years ago.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was that. But I remember getting that phone call. Do you remember we were on tour, Ellie? And Bryony rang and said, do you want to run a marathon in our pants? And I was like, what do you reckon, Ellie? And she's like, yeah, fuck it. Let's do it. And that's sort of how it happened. There was no great plan. We just went, we like attention. We like doing stupid things in our underwear. Let's do it.
But also I think, Zoe, like if you're not going to do it, whatever you don't, maybe it's not for you. When we finished the marathon, I was like, oh, that's brilliant. I signed myself up for loads of other, I'd had knee problems, but I'd done, and I'd had this sick problem doing it, but I signed myself up for loads more races and stuff. And I was like, brilliant. And then my knee like properly went and it never really recovered. And the physio was like, marathon's not for you. And I was really, really upset for a bit. And then I started doing other stuff. So now I do a bar, like a ballet fitness class on a Monday, and I do HIIT training a few times a week. And we're doing this trek because I could walk fine and all this stuff. And actually I've gone, oh, actually I quite like doing different stuff. The training for marathons is very intense and it is a lot. And I didn't know doing all that training. I'm really glad I did it, but I didn't quite realize that I was actually training myself to get into a fitness mindset and get into the idea that I can do exercise. And it doesn't actually matter what kind of exercise that is, or that you don't get a medal for all of it. Like my Monday bar class, I absolutely love it. I love the music and I love that we do it as a group. And I love that there's like an 82-year-old lady we do it with. And then there's all these girls that look like should be on Love Island, and we're all dancing and also grimacing because it's much harder than it looks. And there's a joy in that that's different from running, but it's equal is good, and it takes a third of the time. So just saying, maybe if it's not for you, but I think try something else.
It's such a good point, Ellie. I think you might have hit the nail on the head there, because I've never properly prioritized exercise in my life, and I think that's what I'm bumping up against with these training plans. I'm not going to do the one in April because there's no way I'd get around to it. Even shuffling around, I don't think I'd get around. But I found another one later in the year that I'm going to try. But I keep getting ill. I keep doing these long-ish runs and then I'm getting really ill. And then I'm having to have like 2 weeks off, and then, I don't know. It's a bit of a head mess, this marathon thing.
But I think just getting out of the house, like I find I've got to have a couple of weeks rest, and even just going for a walk up in the woods across the road from my house. Like I think the benefits of just leaving your house and just not being on a screen, or just having time out for yourself, like we were talking about before, is infinitely more satisfying or whatever than, you know, going, oh, I've got to do it in this time or whatever. The pressure you can put on yourself is a lot. And I don't think that's particularly healthy either. Like do stuff you love and then it's not a chore.
Or do stuff you hate, but then motivate yourself in some sort of way. So I know this is an option for everybody, but I joined a nice gym with a spa with like jacuzzis and saunas and all that. So now on the days I'm like, oh, I don't really want to go and lift weights and do kickboxing for an hour. That's tedious. I just think, but afterwards you can sit in a jacuzzi and read a book for half an hour. I'd be lying if I said I loved exercise all the time or I enjoyed every minute of it. I don't, and I don't want to do it many, many times. So if you can think, maybe if it's not a gym, if it's something else, if it's half an hour of Netflix or whatever it is, I've found that to be personally really helpful.
What do you read in the jacuzzi?
I've got waterproof Kindle, so anything I like is marvellous.
Oh, Ellie.
I like it. I like it. I was imagining you there with like a soggy paperback.
Oh, I've done that as well. Often if we've got a guest coming on our podcast and we need to read the book, I'll just take the book into the jacuzzi and I hold it out the water like that. It's delightful.